are the only ones, like internet celebrities are the only ones who can do that, and Alicia. The reason is she is the magic woman who can help people, whether they're residing in Japan or out of Japan, to secure investment loans at Japanese terms, which is a lot of what people are asking. Quite a few people in the crowd here are already using her services, but I will let her introduce herself.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Oh, no.
Oh, which one? Oh, okay. Thank you so much, Dave, for the wonderful introduction. So, quick introduction of what Xlotto Capital is. This is the picture my daughter helped me to draw, and she's a graphic designer for a family office. So we own real estate, either long-term and short-term, in both US and Japan. And we're constantly looking for new deals and to co-invest in different projects. If you have any projects for sale or any investment opportunities, feel free to come to talk to me after the session. Oh, sorry for that. Okay, so I hope everyone had a great lunch. Now I have to compete with your food coma. So before I get started, let me ask everybody a question to help you stay awake. What room type is in the most demand in the next 10 years? Is it studio, one bedroom, two bedroom in Japan? And I will reveal the answer during my presentation to give you some incentive to stay awake. All right, so let's get started. Oftentimes, I hear investors, they will ask me three questions. One is, why to invest in Japan? Second is, where to invest in Japan? And third one is, what type of property to invest in Japan, whether it's a long-term or short-term or hotels? And today, I'm going to unpack all the three questions. Hopefully, by the end of the session, you have a better framework to evaluate any investment opportunities. So let's start it. Why to invest in Japan? So we know for real estate, typically, there's two type of gains you can get. One is capital appreciation. When the property goes up in value, you make money. The second is cash flow, meaning the rent you get from the property itself. And the third one, which is interesting for Japan, is there's a potential currency gain inside those real estate investment. The reason is because the Japanese yen, as everybody already know, has been weakened for the past few years. One of the major reasons for the weakening yen is that the Fed has been hiked pretty aggressively the past few years. While Japan stayed ultra loose. So now finally, Fed is starting to cut our rate in US dollars. And while Japanese Bank of Japan finally start to normalize their policy, that's why there's a kind of projected trend that dollar will get weaker while the yen continue to coming back to strengthening. So that's why I think there's also the potential currency gain in play and on top of those capital gain and steady cash flow. Next, let's see what are the institutional investors are doing. This is a update by the JLL, which is a global real estate brokerage firm. They publish the data every single quarter to measure all of the big cities, how they're doing. So Japan is definitely on top of everybody, all the big institutional investors' mind, because in the past, from quarter three to 2024, to quarter two, 2025, Japan had the most capital inflow, while as all the other cities are not as big, is not getting as big as Japan in terms of capital inflow. Also, the rent growth is pretty healthy in Japan as well, right following Australia and UK. And the most notable is that Japan has the lowest vacancy rate, which is only especially Tokyo, it's only 2.4 for vacancy rate. So that's another reason that I think Japan is really, the rental income works like almost like a bond, because vacancy is so low, right? You can almost ignore the vacancy. You know, consistently, I will be getting a good return. All right. So as a landlord in both US and Japan, I can speak on the firsthand experience that the Japanese tenants are really, really good. I don't know about other countries, But I know in the US, there's a lot of tenants who cannot afford to pay rent. As a result, as a landlord, we had to pay somebody to evict them, also pay them double or triple their rent to get them out of the apartments. Whereas in Japan, what's special about it is that there's a rent guarantee insurance that all the tenant has to pay for it. Basically, there's a system that this insurance guarantor company guarantees landlord that if your tenant stop paying, I will pay you their rent. It's very unique to Japan. It's really unheard of in the US. That's one of the major kind of attractive as an investor that I started investing in Japan, because I really like the tenant here. They're really, really clean too. I haven't heard anybody who breaks anything. Whereas in the US, you can expect maybe your tenant will clog the toilet. Maybe they will like destroy a wall. It happens. Also, Japan, in terms compared to the US, it has a lower management fee, typically 4 to 5% of your monthly rent. Whereas in the US, it's usually between 7 to 10% of your monthly rent for property management, if you don't want to do it yourself. So that's why to invest in Japan. Next, we're going to go into where to invest in Japan. So I can only speak for Tokyo because I know Tokyo the most. I know there's a lot of reason like people like different cities like Osaka or Fukuoka or Nagoya. So here's a map of Greater Tokyo area, which including Yokohama and the city next to Tokyo. I think a lot of, as foreigner, we often hear this Shibuya-ku or Minato-ku or Shinagawa. Those is called central tier one area, which I do not recommend for long-term rentals because the yield will be really, really low. Typically, if you get a mortgage for your rental property, you'll be in negative cash flow. What I do recommend would be some like the word Paito or Sumida or Adachi or Katsushika or even Otaku. Those outskirt area has great access to the super central area. Those area, you can still see a pretty good cash flow and also capital gain. Those area that I do recommend in terms of long-term rentals. Short-term rentals, different story. Okay, next, what to invest in Japan? Is it long-term or short-term? Here's a comparison. I think everybody has different needs. Someone just really, really want to run like a hotel or Airbnb, be a great host, then Airbnb short-term is good for you. But for someone who really seek to just have a great, steady financial outcome, like just putting your money into like a, almost like a treasury notes or bond or some kind of fixed return product, then long-term rental would be the best because it always provided you cash flow very steadily. Every month's going to be the same, very low vacancy risk, and also you don't need to put in much time for management because the tenants in Japan is very, very clean. Whereas compared to long-term, short-term, you have to have pretty heavy hands-on management if you manage yourself. Even sometimes you could have a manager, but still you have to manage your manager. A lot of decisions have to be made by the landlord, not the manager itself. Also, there will be a high variables. A lot of the flyer you see like, hey, this Airbnb offer you a 10-20% return, which is totally probably not true because it's very variable by years. If the tourist demand do go down when the yen goes up, then you will expect a lot lower returns for the Airbnb hotel. Okay, so for long-term properties, not every single building is financeable. The bank, especially for foreign lending program, they have pretty strict criteria when it comes to underwriting. So usually it has to be definitely rent to long-term tenants. Airbnb loans are for property for Airbnbs are typically not allowed with some exceptions. I can talk about later. Also, typically the building has to be younger preferably less than 10 years old. She will have better time left on the building you can get loan for. And third, it has to be pretty much near a major station, preferably 10 minutes or less, or 15 minutes if it's really close to a big terminal station such as Shibuya or Shinagawa. Lastly, it has to be rebuildable and located in the major metro areas with very stable demand. Okay, here's the answer to my questions earlier. Which room type will have the most demand in the next decade? So this was for Japan. This is a chart to show the trend of the single-person household all the way from 1970s to 2030. You can see the single-person household has been climbing up because younger people stay single longer than ever. And also, there's a lot of older couples. People pass away and then they become single-person household again. And the estimate is by 2050, there will be more than half of single-person household. That means the single occupation room will be in most demand. Typically, a studio or one-bedroom will do best. Okay, so why to invest in a studio apartment or one-bedroom apartment? Number one, it has has a rental yield over all the other type. So per square footage rent, studio type and one bedroom is the highest. Next, it's also typically financeable by bank. And third, when the property is financed by the bank, you already know you eliminate all the upfront risks. Because I often get questions from client, hey, can you tell me about risk? What are the risks? Is this rebuildable? Are there any deaths on the property, the land? Is this in the flood zone or is this refurbished house? And by having the bank agree to finance those for you, you would have answers all of this. Typically, the bank will never finance something that's not rebuildable, so meaning it's always rebuildable. And if there's a death on the property, it will definitely be disclosed. Because the bank also has its own underwriter to do the due diligence on the property itself. All right. Lastly, I will talk about how to get a loan as a foreigner without any visa status or any income in Japan. All right. So here's a typical requirement. You do need a sizable down payment, which typically 40 to 45% depends on the property. Second, the bank usually evaluate the properties, the income. Once you define the property, they will know how much income can this property generate. And typically, it has to be above 1.2 times over your loan payment, meaning they know for sure this property will produce enough income to pay off the loan and other operating expenses. And for the personal income requirements, typically you have to have annual income above certain level, but usually this requirement can be eliminated if you can show the bank that you have enough liquid assets, such as stocks or some just bank statements or your retirement account. Third, we need a local person as your representative. That's not required by law, but it does require by the Japanese banks. They typically require someone who has at least permanent residency status to be a local person because this person has to go into the bank to sign multiple documents. They don't want you to fly here or like they don't want to do any Zoom meetings with you. That's why they require a local person as your corporate entity representative. And then I'm going to talk about why there are so many benefits of using corporate entity of holding the investment property as to hold it in your personal name. Here's the benefits of using corporate entities. I have seen people making mistakes holding their property in their personal name, and it's definitely not preferred holding structure for investment property. Number one, if something happened to you, it's a lot easier to handle the inheritance tax planning because you can just give it away. In your corporate resolution, you can just say, hey, all my shares will be divided equally among my kids. Whereas if you hold in your personal name, they may have to go through probate. You have to pay the estate tax and all other taxes before you can distribute to your kids. Also, from a business standpoint, you can include all sorts of deductions as your business expenses. Whereas if you're holding your personal name, only directly to the property, any expenses associated with the property can be deducted, such as property tax or depreciation, and nothing more than that. Whereas if you have a business entity, all your travel expenses, meals, entertainment with clients, or any costs associated with this business can also be deducted and reduce your taxable income, thus you pay less taxes. Also, for scalability reasons, once you have a good portfolio under your corporate name and your corporation has a good revenue coming every year, then it's easier to prove to the bank that you have a great ability to earn more, and it's easier to get future financing. Whereas if you're holding your personal name, if you don't have any Japanese income, then the bank won't look at you for as part of your credibility. All right, so next, it's an example of a loan agreement. Typically, it has the amount and the years. This is a wooden structure, so typically you can get 25 years if it's new built. And they typically give you option of choosing between two payment methods. One is you have the equal payment every month, meaning every single month, it can be, if it's $100, you pay $100 over the next 25 years. The other one is you pay the equal principal, but your interest will reduce over time. So it will start higher, but decrease over time. So they're just basic two different methods of payments. And I can send everyone this presentation so you don't have to worry about taking pictures. I have a QR code at the end. You can just scan it. I'll send you the presentation material. Okay, here's a typical process. The most important thing is to identify this property first, because the loan is solely based on the property itself, how much this property can earn income. That's why it's very important to identify this financeable property first. Then once you have the property, we'll help you submit. You're gonna set up these corporations, and then we'll submit to the bank for pre-underwriting, meaning we'll ask the bank, is this one financeable or not? And once the bank said, okay, it's financeable, then we'll go into signing its purchase agreement with the condition that the bank grant you the final approval of the loan. Then from week 8 to 13 is usually interview with the bank and also the underwriting process. And lastly, once the property is, the approval is done, the final approval is granted, and the property will be transferred to your title under your name or your corporation's name. All right, so now I'm going to reiterate. What's the path to a successful real estate investment? Number one, source a deal. Because I have a lot of questions, like people will ask me, how do I start to search property in Japan? It is a big task. It takes a lot of time. We actually hand scrap a lot of different deals coming to our source. We already done it for you. So you can leverage on our time, leverage on other people's time to find the good deals. And second is getting the loan approved, where you can use other people's money to fund your property purchase. And third is the property, professional property management. We have a property management in-house. We'll provide our client the 100% hands-off. Every month, what you do, just go into your bank account and online checking how much rent income is coming in, and you don't have to worry about anything else. Okay, lastly, here's how we can help. We offer the off-market deals. We help you source the off-market properties, and also help you secure the best loans. We'll help you shop around different banks. Lastly, we offer professional property management, so you don't have to worry about something happen to your property or your tenant. And also, we do the visa support. As many of you know, the new business manager visa program, they require a lot more capital injections, which is 30 million yen. Capital injection compared to before, which is only 5 million yen. So a lot of our clients actually, they still want to come to Japan with 30 million yen capital injection, but they don't know what to do with 30 million. So what we offer here is that you just buy a property from us and all the income you have to your corporation actually is going to help you when you renew the visa. The government do take a really emphasize on how much revenue you have over the year when you renew a visa next time. Okay, that's it. And you can scan this QR code if you want the presentation. I'll be sure to send to you. Thanks, sir.
Thank you very much, Alicia. While you're thinking up your questions, there was somebody in the stream that wanted clarification. You mentioned something about rental income not being taxed, or is that what you meant? Or?
Right. So rental income, typically for Japan, for everything, you have to pay a consumption tax, right? But except for long-term rental, you don't have to pay consumption tax. For short-term hotels or Airbnb, you do have to pay consumption tax on top of what you receive.
But there is standard income tax applicable to rental income as well, right?
Yeah. Okay. It's an income tax, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. What I mean to say is a consumption tax, not added on to long-term rental income.
And that's taxed at whatever income threshold. There's no differentiating between rental income or other income, right? Same tax bracket.
So only long-term rental income is exempt from the consumption tax.
No, so what I mean is if the company pays corporate tax based on its income or the individual pays personal income tax based on their income, then the rental income just gets added to that, right?
Right, yeah.
Okay, exactly. Understood. All right, any questions from the room? Don't be shy, raise your hands.
A question.
Going once, yes.
Hi, Alicia. So I was just wondering, I know we've talked about this before, but what are the price points of these properties? Like you mentioned, you know, what is the range that you're working within for usual investments?
Yeah, typically for the bank be able to do this type of loan, it usually will come up, the purchase price of the building will become somewhere around 80 million Japanese yen, which is 550K or close to 600K US dollars.
Sorry, I don't have a light.
Sorry.
And for that, what sort of property would you be buying? Like how many units would be in the building for like an $80 million property?
Yeah, so it depends on the location. If it's somewhere in Yokohama, we can go back to the map I have. Typically, if it's somewhere in Adachiku, which is also Tokyo, the 23 Ward, or Katsushikaku or Otaku, it will be somewhere around 6 units. But if you go further to Yokohama or Kawasaki, some other outskirt area, you can get 8 units, or sometimes it could be 10 units. It really depends on location. Yeah, so for Tokyo 23 wards, the best you can do probably that price range will be around 6 units in one building. Go ahead.
Full reclamation.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. Hey, yeah. Would a full reformation class as a new property?
Typically, it will not. Yeah. So the question is, would a full renovation or reformation of the property will be considered a new property? No, it will not be considered for underwriting the loan purposes.
Okay.
Yeah. Welcome. Only a true new build, ground up redevelopment will be considered as a new build.
So do banks do cash out refinances?
Once you have the permanent resident status, the bank will consider to help you do the cash out refinance. But this program is unfortunately not available to a foreign investor yet.
And then if you have a bunch of like a portfolio of small properties, will they lend off of that? And if you hit the threshold for the 800 million yen or whatever it was?
Yeah, definitely for people with permanent residencies or any long-term visa, that as long as all under same one company's name, you have good revenue, you show you follow taxes for the past 3 years, you can show you have strong revenue, they will consider to make a loan off your company profitabilities. But those are have to be, as a borrower, you have to have some certain visa status. Whereas the loan that I just talked about is, you don't have to have any visa status. Anyone in the world can borrow it without being in Japan.
A question from the stream, two questions actually, I think they're both short and I think I know the answer. First is, it takes a few weeks to get the loan. In that time, you may be missing out on properties. Has this happened to any of your clients or yourself?
Not yet. So typically what we do is off-market properties, meaning we already know the builders, the developers quite well. They will usually hold it for us. It's not like you compete with multiple buyer situation.
Right. So if they go through you, but if they're going through open market properties, then that can obviously happen, right?
Right. Yeah, you could miss out. Yeah, if you go through the open bidding process. Yeah.
And second question, are you able to assist with finding and nominating a Japanese resident director / representative?
Yes, we can definitely assist on that matter to find a local representative for the corporate entity here.
Any more questions from the room, or do I go with the stream? Okay, over there. While I'm walking over there, if one of your clients wants to exit the investment, can you walk us through this scenario? How long, who would normally buy from you, and what are the tax implications for an investor? You don't have to answer all of that right now, but as much as you can.
So I'll answer the exit scenario, right? It's when you sell it, typically you pay your seller's agent a 3% commission and nothing more than that, just 3% commission to sell. And typically for smaller properties, meaning under 100 million Japanese yen, which is somewhere around 850K US dollars, it sells really fast. Usually you can sell within 2 weeks or so. It's a very liquid market. That's why the bank is willing to even lend to foreigners, because they know it's very liquid. Oh, go ahead.
Could you give me the overview of the cost of setting up the company for the as a non-Japanese resident?
Overview.
The cost for setting up the company and keep it going.
Okay,
managing the company.
Yeah, so basically initial setup costs for a corporation will typically around 300K Japanese yen. It's about 2,000 US dollars. And the annual maintenance, there's not much maintenance to it, except if you want to do the tax filing yourself, you can do so without any cost. But if you hire a local CPA, which I do, is typically cost me between 1,000 to 1,500 to hire a local CPA to file the taxes on my behalf. Yeah, there's no other ongoing compliance cost, maintenance cost for keep a corporate entity.
So another hand here on the right somewhere before. Yes, gentleman over there. That's okay, because I'm still reading the stream. While I'm walking over there, somebody's asking if, would Alicia consider syndications?
Yes, I would definitely love to do that, yes. That's what I did so many of the syndication deals in the US. I hope to bring it to Japan too.
Could you talk about interest rates, please? I think when you had your discussion with Ziv, you mentioned that you're not getting the juicy home rates that people get, that it's a different loan product and more money. Is that correct?
Oh, you mean different type of loans?
Compared to home loans.
Oh, yeah, compared to home loans, yeah. So the loan I was just talking about is only catered to foreigners without any visa status in Japan and without living in Japan. We can help you get a loan as long as you can come up with a 40% down payment. But for home loans, if you have a long-term visa status or any type of visa in Japan, is very favorable. For now, I think it's somewhere around 1% for home loans if you're for purchase for your own personal residence. And also we can finance it for probably 30 or 40 years, depending on your age. And sometimes you can finance 100%. Whereas for loan for foreigners, the most you can finance will be 60%. So you do have to come up with a bigger down payment for the foreigner loans program.
Further hands in the room, going once, Going twice. So one more question from the stream. That six-unit apartment building in Taitoku that you went over, what's the typical rent per unit in one of those units?
Taitoku. Yeah, so I just mentioned as an example, Taitoku already kind of becoming quite expensive. If it's in Taitoku, somewhere the rent for a single occupancy studio would be around $600 US. If it's a new build.
Last final questions from the room, from the stream. No, thank you very much, Alicia.
Thank you, everyone.